they put down a dog for biting a kid when the kid provoked it, you just go, well, that's a fucking senseless waste of an innocent life. Euthanize the kid instead.
What the f?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another Saturday night. I'm Josh Hadley, and I'm just as depressed to be here as I'm sure Kat is.
Well, I mean, it could be better if one of you guys was, like, a super hot celebrity, but since you're not, I guess I'll just take what I can get.
Well, Charlie McMullen's a semi-hot, kind of, sort of, almost maybe celebrity.
Oh, do go on.
Tell me more about me.
No, I'm going to tell you instead about adamandeve.com, where you go and you get 10 free gifts on top of whatever you order. Just think about how sexy Charlie would be with all these gifts. You get six free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free U.S. shipping. Now, just imagine Charlie sticking some really huge traffic cone up his butt.
Don't park here.
So, all right, we got that out of the way. Let's just get into...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I have two things vying for dumbest thing. I was going to go with the Florida one, but then that's kind of like picking on the retarded kid. Instead, I'm going to go for dumbest thing for the University of California, Santa Cruz. They claim unintentional racism. I claim this was fucking hilarious satire. They had an event staffed which had a, quote, intergalactic theme, and they decorated the room with spaceships and aliens and sci-fi memorabilia. And the meal provided was Mexican food. Mexicans were not happy about the whole illegal alien subtext that they saw in this. Is this unintentional racism? Is this unintentional racism, or is this really funny satire?
I think it's unintentional. I think you got to really reach. I mean, they're clearly talking about space aliens. They're not talking about illegal aliens. Some people just like getting offended. They like the indignation. This seems like one of those times.
I think it's California, so you're going to have a lot of Mexican food to begin with. Yeah, I mean, I can see where they think they're being offended. But no, I don't think that was intentional. It's just this kind of stupid all around.
The head of the university, quote, "As a result of this incident, I will require cultural competence training," that's a new word for me, "for program staff.
Damn.
In addition to implementing mechanisms for future program planning that will ensure college programs are culturally sensitive and inclusive," unquote. I have a problem with this because, as Charlie pointed out, this is just people wanting to be offended. But at the same time, fucking grow some balls. It's Mexican food at a sci-fi event. They didn't call you wetbacks or anything. Jesus Christ, do we need to have cultural competence training because Mexican food was served at a sci-fi event? Is this not going a smidge too far?
I think it is going a smidge too far, because I don't think they were serving Mexican food because they knew that aliens would be part of the decoration. I think they were serving it because Mexican food is fucking delicious.
I almost want to say that having a cultural competence training over, like, as a result of an event, that's pretty unnecessary. This was obvious, well, not obviously, but likely just someone's, you know, just not really stretching to figure out, oh, how can I offend nobody at all? And like, it's just sort of silly.
I think they went into it going,
on the other hand,
you know what sounds good? Tacos. Tacos are good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I think most human beings are like, you know what's delicious? Tacos. You know what I want all the time? Tacos. On the other hand, I think cultural competence training should not be something that you have to do a seminar on or a class or something like that. It's something that your university or your school or whatever should teach you in general. You should be learning that through everything. You shouldn't have to go to a class to go, look, here's how we don't offend people. You should just sort of be able to know what to do and what not to do. your regular learning. And that's why this is unnecessary, because most people do learn how to behave like a fucking human being through life and through experiences and through other people's reactions to how they do stuff. Like, we just, you can't account for how outraged everybody's going to be over everything. It just, you can't do it. We can't have a totally PC society, and nor should we. So
you also shouldn't have to teach don't be racist.
Right. You know, you should just sort of know not to be racist, you know, when you take a history class and realize that white people did really terrible things to everybody. Sort of one step too far.
Well, we're going to talk about racism again in a minute, but the other thing that was vying for dumbest thing was, Charlie, give us the jingle, please.
Florida, America's punchline.
18-year-old Austin Hatfield decided it would be funny. While drunk in front of his friends, he kissed a cottonmouth snake. The snake wasn't so receptive, bit him in the face. He's now in a coma fighting for his life. A death may be involved, but what did you think was going to happen when you had a cottonmouth snake that you kept in pillowcase for days outside, didn't feed it or give it water, and then tried to make out with it? This is probably the best outcome, isn't it?
Like what happens when I do that to a woman. Not too pleasant.
It's definitely the best result that we could possibly have, because now we have something to talk about, which is stupid people.
And I think both sides are overreacting a little bit. The World Conservation Commission is investigating the case, and they euthanized the snake because now it has attacked a human. Hatfield is also looking at fines, of course, assuming he survives and ever wakes up, because of the fact that it is illegal to keep a cottonmouth snake. So is it right that if he survives this, he's going to get charged anyway? And also, was it right that the cottonmouth snake was euthanized for being a fucking cottonmouth snake?
It seems dumb to me to punish an animal for being itself. It was just acting according to the laws of nature, and it just seems really stupid to kill an animal for that. It's sort of like when they put down a dog for biting a kid when the kid provoked it. You just go, well, that's a fucking senseless waste of an innocent life. Euthanize the kid instead.
The snake should not have been euthanized because it was tortured and starved before the attack. The snake did not do anything wrong. And
the
I
snake
think
was being
that
a fucking
the guy,
snake.
Yeah, he was accused of operating under the influence of being a predatory reptile. That's what they do. And I do think the guy should be charged if he wakes up. I don't know. I think I'm getting more callous the more times I do this show, but I don't know. I don't feel bad for that guy. It would be sad for his family if he died and everything. Like, I don't know. If he dies, we're not really losing anybody who is bringing anything to the table. If that's what he does for recreation, is gets drunk, gets the cameras going, and makes out with a snake.
The appropriate response to, instead of euthanizing the snake, would be to fucking set it free where it fucking belongs. That's the best thing that you can do. It's not going to hurt anybody if it was in its proper environment.
Well, it can't be captured by a drunk moron.
You know, it was kind of a sexy snake. It was just kind of asking for it, right?
Yeah.
Let's go back to racism then. In Michigan, a tree trimmer, Robert Tomanovich, well, he decided to hang a noose from a tree and a Confederate flag printed with the slogan, "I ain't coming down," on his fence. He is, of course, getting a whole bunch of complaints about this. Quote, "I love it. Screw 'em. Hell no. We ain't going to put up no more, but we ain't taking this one down." Oh, and then he added that he didn't intend to offend anyone, and he's not a racist.
Well, this reminds me of when I was in college and I lived in Nashville. A friend of mine from here in Colorado had mailed me a bumper sticker that he got at Spencer's. It had a picture of a Confederate flag with the circle and the slash through it, and on the side it said, "You lost, get over it." And the note that he included said, "You don't have the balls to put this on your car while you're there." So I put it on my car. It was there for about a week. Before I came out one morning and the sticker was ripped off and the back window was punched. Not broken, but there was like definitely one point of impact where somebody punched my window. They don't have senses of humor about shit like that. And the really hardcore ones making this stupid, inconsequential bullshit their last stand. Like this guy, if he's the true Southerner that I've seen and that I feel like I recognize him to be. He will shoot anyone point blank in the face for trying to take down that flag, knowing full well that it's completely meaningless. But this is in Michigan, though. Doesn't matter. If someone's really into the ethos, that is all they have.
The guy who put this up specifically stated that the noose was sort of like, I guess, an homage to a friend who had hung himself in a tree.
He said he had a friend that died that way, and it's a memory to his friend. And that's fine.
Right.
But then when you go with the Confederate flag, that's not memorializing your friend.
Okay, so there is a reasoning why he put a noose in a tree, and then he just so happens to like the look of the Confederate flag next to a noose. It doesn't matter what you think this is an homage to. The only way other people are going to look at it is, hey, I like lynching black people. Like, there's just no other way to look at it. There really isn't.
Well, and then with the whole screw them, that means I don't care what other people think. Yeah, I don't care what you think.
But to be fair, it's the guy's piece of property and he can do whatever he wants with it as long as it doesn't violate some sort of, you know, like law, or if you live in like a fancy neighborhood that has like neighborhood codes and stuff, you're allowed to do whatever you want. However, you are not free from the consequences of what happens. So if all of a sudden your neighbors move away or somebody in the middle of the night rips it down, you know, you kind of have it coming.
I was mad at the whole screw him. That after he finds out they're offended, he doesn't even defend it. Just, I don't care.
Probably because he knows he can't defend it. And why should he care what other people think? I generally don't care what other people think. And I certainly wouldn't care if somebody thought something about my piece of property. People suck.
Well, people do
suck. This guy in particular. This guy in particular sucks. I had this neighbor up the street from me. He was just the nicest old man. And every time a house would go on sale on my street, he would put a Confederate flag outside.
Oh, Jesus. What is he, Archie Bunker?
Only when the house... No, it was... But he came from a different generation. He was older. He had lived through a lot more. And yeah, he took it down as soon as the house was sold. And we did have black people on our street that he was perfectly nice to. But every time a house went for sale, he tried to keep black people from moving there. That's really passive-aggressive racism right there.
How about in Parma, Missouri, where Tyus Byrd was sworn in as mayor? She's black, and as soon as she took office, 80% of the police force resigned, as well as the water treatment commissioner and the city attorney. No, it's not racism at all, her being the first black mayor. No, it's not racism at all. Is it racism when the day you take office as the first black mayor of a small Missouri town, 80% of your staff resigns? Is that racism?
It's either racism or really open-minded sexism.
Oh, so you think it's because she's a woman, not a black woman, huh?
I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Missouri. Like, I've never been there, except driving through it. So I don't claim to know a whole lot about their people, but they don't seem like the most socially progressive people in the world.
You're correct, and, sir.
I don't know. I mean, given what's happened in Ferguson, you want to lean towards racism, but I think it could just as easily be sexism. And what a weird argument this is to have.
Which level of horrible are they? Do they hate women or do they hate black people?
Is this?
Or maybe it's both. Maybe if it was a white woman, they'd have done the same thing, or a black man, who knows? So since I don't live near there, I don't know how close this is to Ferguson. Kat, is this a racist-ish kind of issue? How do you see this? Because this is closer to your area.
Okay, so the thing you got to know about Missouri is that there are pockets of civilization, and those pockets are St. Louis and Columbia and Kansas City. And even the capital, Jefferson City, is not considered a pocket of civilization. Everything in between is just nothing but small towns with porn shops and racism.
I got to ask you, do those two things go together or is that a coincidence?
Well,
that's a mixed message
I think,
is what that is.
Right? It's weird because I think we're still technically in the Bible Belt, but God, we have a lot of porn shops, like a lot of like small God-fearing towns that are just seconds away from porn, lots and lots of porn. Yeah, this is probably racism. Although to say that 80% of the staff quit is really, it's almost kind of generous because that's 5 out of 6 people. This is a very small town that they're talking about.
This is an exodus.
So really, and honestly, I don't think of this as abandoning a post or anything like that. I think of this as sort of God purging the department of fucking racist and giving this nice, perfectly kind mayor an opportunity to fill it with not racists.
Now, this next one can't be racist, but we're going to stick to your area, Kat. How about in Kinloch, which is apparently a neighbored town to Ferguson? Kinloch.
Yeah, it's by the airport, from what I understand. It's pretty much in St. Louis.
Well, Betty McRae, an old black woman, just got elected their mayor over the 7-term veteran. Now, she won by 63 votes, and she has been impeached by the city attorney and the chief of police the day she takes office. They literally blocked her from walking into City Hall saying, "We impeached you last night, you're no longer the mayor." We can't scream racism because the city attorney and the chief of police are also black. So this one's not racist. Why would this happen? I have some stats to back some stuff up. But why do you think they would impeach the new mayor after beating the incumbent for the past 7 terms? Why would they impeach her without even inviting her to the impeachment hearing the day before she takes office? This smells wrong, doesn't it?
And it's only, I know this because I talked about this earlier on my other show. We're talking about all these things I already talked about once today. There is a level of corruption in place already, and they just don't want to deal with having to corrupt somebody new. At least that's what I'm getting out of this. Like, they had some stuff in place where this is a very small little, I mean, this isn't a big town because it's not a good area. So there's not a lot of people who live there, and it's very, very corrupt. And it's a lot of people scrambling to keep themselves on top of the pile of shit that is this town.
Before I get into the actual corruption that Kat is talking about, do you see this as openly corrupt, or should they have been a little bit more subtle about, "We impeached you because you're not part of our corruption"?
That's probably what it is. I mean, it doesn't have to be racism or sexism when you're talking about politics. People that are in politics, like career politicians, are just inherently scumbags excuses for people. They're terrible people. What Kat says makes a lot of sense. After 7 terms, the incumbent mayor has garnered a lot of cronyism, a lot of just people that he has understandings with, a lot of bribes coming in and out. I can understand them not wanting to set up their own corrupt infrastructure again, and it's probably just a handy excuse that it would be racism or sexism rather than get into all that, because politics is crime. You do not become a career politician without fucking over a lot of people in your wake. It's just it's a dirty game, and the people that play it are dirty people.
Like the former mayor we're talking about, who has been sentenced to 21 months in prison for spending tens of thousands of dollars of city money on his own personal expenses. Or the city's municipal judge, who has been disciplined for a, quote, pattern of misconduct in his private legal practice, using client funds to pay his former bills. Or the former interim mayor, when the other mayor was sentenced to prison, he was resisting arrest for drunk driving. Basically, the story that I'm seeing is they don't want her to look at the books. So we've got to impeach her, legally or not. I don't know how her impeachment is going to hold up, considering that she was never invited to it, and the only people involved in her impeachment hearing were the police chief and the city attorney. This is ass covering of the, why is the Justice Department not investigating this variety?
And that's exactly what's probably going to happen. I think it's kind of interesting how terrible Missouri politicians are about covering their own asses, because we just hear about this a lot, even at like the really local level. Like, I think it was like the mayor of the town where my parents live was impeached and thrown out for abusing money and all this other stuff. And we're like, congratulations, you just got kicked out of office in a shitty little town with not a lot of money to begin with. I feel like there's just this stark comparison from, like, say, Chicago politics. I'd say Chicago because they're notoriously sleazy and also next door. So, like, Chicago politicians, like, scrambling to cover things up and paying people off and doing all this other stuff that Chicago is so notorious for. And then you drive a few hours over to St. Louis, and they're just so terrible at covering up their misconduct. They just get caught all the time. And I think the difference is that a lot of these people actually go to jail for it, or they get fined, or they lose office, and they actually are made to pay for it somehow because they haven't bribed enough people, because their politics are so, like, lowball, I guess. Like, they're they're unimportant, so they just end up having to pay for it because there's no one willing to bail them out, because who cares about St. Louis politicians?
I'd like to think the Justice Department would step in and just start holding people accountable, but I'm not going to hold my breath until it happens. A Missouri town is more likely to get away with this shit than Chicago is, for the same reason a kid shoplifting a candy bar is more likely to get away than an adult person robbing a bank. You know what I mean?
It's too minor to really deal with.
Pretty much, yeah.
I just love how openly corrupt they are. I think Kat's right. Chicago at least learned how to couch it in some sort of subterfuge. Here they're just going, we don't want you to see our books. You're impeached.
Yeah.
In a way, it's oddly refreshing, Kat.
But there's no way it's going to work, because there's no way that they're going to get away with it. Like, they're just desperate, I think. I think they're just that desperate at this point that they'll try anything. And I don't think it's going to work because they're not that good.
Baltimore burns because of police abuses of black people. Here we are doing another silly fucking radio show. That's right. I'm Hart Fisher and you're listening to Heart Attack. And the first thing I want to get into right off the bat is this misinformation campaign about this gentleman, Freddie Gray, that was murdered by the police's negligence in Baltimore. You know, if you die by negligence, it's still a crime. It's still manslaughter. And right now there's a piece of misinformation making its way through the blogosphere, and it's been done on purpose. Folks, this guy never had a pre-existing spinal condition. This gentleman was poisoned by lead paint. That's right, folks. There is a misinformation campaign happening right now to trick people into thinking that Freddie Gray had some kind of spinal injury, pre-existing condition before he was thrown into the back of a police truck and left to slide around on the bottom of the floor against their own policies and die. This gentleman was not injured in his spine until the police got their hands on him. He was poisoned by lead paint. Now, we're going to get into something else.
I also want to add something to this. There's another one, I think it was in Washington State, where a guy was running from the cops. They shot him. And then this is all caught by their lapel cams. The guy's like, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. The cop, while standing on his neck, goes, fuck your breath, you ran. What did you expect? That's the kind of cops we have nowadays. You ran, so I have a right to shoot you and then not get you medical attention. You know, this is bullshit. These are thugs, not cops.
Yeah, you know, we all grow up watching cop shows, and we want the good cop, guys. I don't hate cops. I understand that they have a dirty job. But folks that are protesting in Baltimore, they want you to be violent. It's kind of convenient that you're having this giant protest go horribly wrong. Gee, 1 month right before they're supposed to renew a bunch of Patriot Act stuff. You idiots are only helping the right wing. You're only helping those who want to create a totalitarian government in this country. You got to stop the violence. And instead, you should be protesting outside the mayor's house. You should be protesting outside of all of city houses, halls, homes. Go to their homes and protest outside their homes, because it is the politicians that tell the police what to do. You have got to stand up and talk to the head instead of fighting with the foot. Now, the second thing I'm going to get into, there is a video that was posted on April 7th, 2015. It is called American Reflex. Now, when we get on the air, Josh is going to start bitching and moaning about how it's poorly edited because these guys are trying to be edgy. But what it is you have a tall, blonde woman who is walking around South Florida streets in the middle. And these are people all hanging out, having fun, partying in South Florida. She's wearing a mirror mask and not talking to people. She's dressed in a blue dress. And the thing that it's a long video. It's 14 minutes long. Josh, I don't blame you for not getting through the whole thing in right before the show. He'd been sent this earlier with Josh, but you didn't get to watch it, did you?
I didn't, but I tried. I do need to point out the editing. I also want to point out that the woman is a model named Sing Pierce, S-I-G-N-E, Signe Pierce. I've never heard of her. She's actually supposedly a pretty well-known model, but obviously you can't see her face in the video. But this thing is edited like these guys just got new editing software and said, I want to use one of everything. Slow down, speed up.
We're going to talk about violence against women. You want to talk about the editing. Shut the fuck up for a
minute.
Because if they had just shown the video, I would be on their side. Shut up, Josh, and let me explain to the people who haven't seen it what I'm upset about. What I'm upset about in this video is the horrible way in which this person is treated on the street. Now, catcalls from the guys suck. That pisses me off. But their words. The worst is that as the video goes on, young women attack this person more and more violently. And that's the thing that bothered me. It starts off with a girl running up from behind and dousing this person with a cup full of water. And then another girl got her guts up and she ran up and hit this person with another cup of liquid. Then further on in the video, you got a person running up and this little white girl kicks her heels out from under and she goes crashing down. Then later in the video, another chubbier white girl comes running up from behind and just smashes into this chick and rams her into the ground, into the cement. What the fuck is wrong with the ladies? What is up with this? Now, one man's inappropriate in the video. One man's putting his hands on her. He's getting sexually inappropriate with her. That's fucking wrong, too. But these physical assaults and batteries, there's no excuse for that. Assaulting and battering a stranger walking down the street because you thought her mirror mask was funny. And why is it all girls? I have been noticing an uptick in violence with women in American society. I've been talking with teachers about it back across the country when I tour around, when I do signings and do spoken word performances, and I talk with friends of mine that work in the educational industry. They're telling me that, yeah, Hart, we're seeing a lot of women hitting their parents. A lot of young girls are hitting their parents. In fact, a lot of the young kids are hitting their parents. They're backing me up on the violence. It's weird. It's very, very weird. And I just watched the video right now and a girl screaming, I missed, as she ran up to try to hit this chick and ram her from behind. And they keep attacking this person from behind. Ladies, you need to take a hard look in the mirror and ask yourself, what is up with this? And we're not talking about old, fuddy-duddy Republican women. These are young chicks, and this is in Southern Florida in a big public space. There's Ferris wheel. Everybody's having a good time and having fun. but for some reason they feel like it's okay to assault and batter this person. And I isn't this the issue we have with the police, Josh, that they seem to think they have a right to batter these people or hit these people or kill these people because they didn't do what they said? Isn't this an extension of the same kind of thing?
Well, then I have to ask the question, why weren't charges filed against any of these people? Their faces are clearly seen.
That's a question I'd like to know.
On camera.
I would like to know that. I really would. This was filmed on location in Myrtle Beach. I'm sorry, I thought it was in Florida, but it's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That's my bad. A lot of what they're saying to them is terrible, too. That's a man. Oh, that's a man. I got to know. Is that a man? Is that a man? Like, what the fuck does that have anything to do with anything? And I also think that's part of what's happening in the media with this jamming down everybody's throats about issues of fucking transgender and all that kind of stuff. Now all of a sudden that's in people's heads. I wouldn't look at this woman and wonder if she's a man. Not at all.
I didn't wonder that at all. And I'm unfamiliar with the name that I gave you at the beginning of the episode. I don't know the supermodel. Maybe it is a guy. Who the fuck cares? All I saw, the nerd me with the mirror mask, was female Cobra Commander?
Yeah, right.
You know, hey, that's a Cobra Commander mask, basically.
Dude, Cobra Commander, that's so fucking funny. I didn't even think of that when I was watching this video. I was so excited for the G.I. Joe cartoon. I was so excited for that to come on the air because I was a fan of the comic book and the art in it was so good. But now I'm just geeking out and I'd really just go, hey, what is up with the chicks and this violence? Have you been noticing this kind of thing from your point of view on the culture, Josh? Because it just certainly seems like they feel like they're entitled to hit this person and strike this person. And they're not. You're not entitled to strike another person.
I've noticed for a long time, people always think like, you know, women are these delicate little flowers, but go back and look at like just general assault statistics and whatnot. Women have always been just as violent as men. But for some reason, the media, even when it comes to like domestic assault, if a woman hits a man in front of a cop prior to 1995, that was not assault. If a man hits a woman for any reason, even if she's hitting him, that's domestic battery. Until 1995, a woman basically had to attempt to kill a dude before she was assaulting a guy. But a guy defending himself from a crazy woman hitting him, that's domestic assault.
I'm a victim of it. I have been assaulted by a girlfriend. More than one, actually. I was talking about it with my wife, and I was sad to say that, yeah, I have been assaulted by several different girlfriends. And they thought it was all right because I was a guy and I'm big and I'm supposed to just take it. And I'm like, hey, no, that's wrong. That's fucking totally wrong. I don't hit anybody like that. And I have other male friends that have also been assaulted and battered by their spouses, by girlfriends in their lives.
But look at like sitcoms. It's always the goofy husband and the wife smacks him when he does something stupid. Now,
yeah.
Do you think that if when the wife does something stupid or you know, buys the wrong groceries and the guy smacks her, you know, in a fun way, people would go, oh, that's making fun of domestic assault. But it's okay when the hot wife smacks the fat husband in a sitcom, right?
It bugs the shit out of me, dude. It bugs the shit out of me. Every time I see that crap, like you see the comedy where, oh, the guy cheated on the girl and the girl gets a bat and destroys his car. You should fucking go to jail for that. That's totally fucking wrong. It's not like if a guy did it to a girl, you're a crazy stalker guy, you know?
There was that movie that came out year or two ago where a guy's married and he's engaged to another girl and he's got a girlfriend and all three of the girls find out about it. This is a comedy.
Yeah.
And they decide to fuck with him and they give him feminine hormones and make him fat and all this stuff. And it's like, you realize almost everything that these women are doing for comedy is highly illegal. It doesn't matter that he lied to you. Everything you're doing is highly illegal. And if it was three guys doing that to a slut girl, nobody would even balk at the fact. They'd go, that's illegal.
They'd want him in jail. They'd hate those fucking characters. So I would say that, ladies, you don't get the right to hit your boyfriend if you're mad at him. You don't get the right to slap him in the face if he does something you did wrong. And you certainly don't have the right to assault another woman that bothers you on the street. No one expects you ladies to be tough guys and to kick ass. And I'm a fan of Ronda Rousey, all right? But Ronda isn't running around beating people on the street. She's a skilled martial artist, right? She's a lethal weapon. So, ladies, it's great that you stand up for yourself. It's great that you assert yourself. But assaulting and battering people is the wrong way to go. The physical violence is a bad way to go. And the harassment, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And on that note, folks, I would say all of you out there, all of America, we need to take a hard look in the mirror and ask ourselves some questions about what are we focused on? What is up with all this physical violence and deciding that they're deciding who it's okay to do this to? Well, you know what, folks? It's not okay to do this to anybody. I'm Hart Fisher. You've been listening to Heart Attack. You can find me on Twitter at Hart Fisher. You can also find me at Heart Attack Radio. We're also on Facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio.
A pretty face reflected in a mirror, so perfect in every way. With every move, the picture's getting clearer. She's got it all, she's got it made. But when she smiles, is she really?
This one to me. Do you want to smell like a deceased loved one?
Oh my god. Oh, we're actually going to talk about this.
You sent it to me.
I just thought it was hilarious. I wasn't sure if you'd actually use it. Oh my god. No, I don't want to smell like a dead loved one. Oh god.
What we're actually talking about is that some studies have found that smell is the strongest sense linked to our memories. That there is a French entrepreneur who has no way I'm going to be able to pronounce this. Katea Apalagetiui, whatever.
Hold on, I want to look up how to, what the guy's name is because I don't remember.
Apalagetiui. No way I'm not mispronouncing that. But
the last syllable is we.
He has come up with a treatment where when you lose, say, your mother or your brother or something, they'll go through pillowcases and clothing and their hairbrushes and stuff and find about 100 specific scent molecules, which they will then synthesize into a sprayable fragrance so you can remember your loved one via olfactory senses.
It's a little morbid. It kind of makes sense, though. I mean, from a psychological standpoint, because the sense of smell is the most closest link with memory. So if you want pleasant memories, it's just a spritz away. I get why people would want to do it. I just wouldn't do it because I especially wouldn't do it if I were a friend of mine after I die, because my sheets and my clothes are, they're like 60% semen. They're just held together by, like, I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Charlie is the kind of guy.
If you distilled my essence into a cologne, like, no way. It's just weed and nicotine and coffee.
Charlie is the kind of guy who can tear open a vein with a sharp sock.
Yeah, sometimes I throw him at the ceiling, see if I can get him to stick. just crawls down the wall like those octopus things.
Fucking wall walkers! And you'd only ever get to throw them once, because after that they'd collect every bit of dirt off the floor and then they'd never stick again.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, and the answer is no. I'm thinking about how many people die when they're really old, and then ask yourself if you want to go around with old people smell.
Which is a fair assessment.
How many people die, like, in hospitals, and they're, like all this weird just hospital smells, and what if that's what you remember? What if that's the old, like, you've lived in the, like, they're in hospice care or something, and they just, their every inch of their clothes is permeated with sort of, like, hospital smells and cleaning solutions, and, like, what if that's the smell they extract?
Kat, I used to work at a rest home. Old people smell is a real thing.
Yeah, like, what if that's the only smell left? You don't want that. That's kind of gross. It would remind you of Grandpa in the worst week of their life.
The week when he was shitting himself and thought he was back in World War II fighting the Kaiser.
Stuff like that. I mean, that's no good, man. That's no good. But I mean, you know, whatever blows your hair back. I mean, if that's what you want to smell like, then you go smell like that.
Well, how about a place that probably doesn't smell the best? The social club in Madison, Nashville, Tennessee. They are a social club in the fact that they're actually a swingers club. Now, because the neighborhood didn't want them in their neighborhood, they rezoned the neighborhood to prohibit clubs. So the owners of the social club, which is what it was called then, have now formed the United Fellowship Center and had themselves designated a church.
Oh, it's Jesus. A swingers club.
So basically they're using legal loopholes to get around the legal loopholes that the people didn't want in their neighborhood. Who wins here?
You know what? I'm not even mad. I'm actually kind of impressed.
Yeah, I mean, good for them if they can beat the system. It's all just really childish, though. I mean, we don't want you in our neighborhood because of our offended egos. So, well, we don't want to move because that requires effort. So we're going to pervert religion into, I don't know, man. It's just, it's tit for tat behavior, which would be made all the more delicious if some of the swingers had tats on their tits.
I'm sure that they do. To join this church, the United Fellowship Center, men are charged $50 and women are charged $20, which, by the way, that is fucking unfair. That is gender bias right there. Why does it cost men more to be part of a swingers church?
I don't think that's unfair.
That's what it is, isn't it, Ken? Isn't it a swingers church, really, now?
It is a swingers church, but I think as a rule, as a generalization, men are going to be getting more out of this than women.
I guess they
just can't discriminate against women. Like, they have to let women into the church in order to be considered a church. Like, why even bother having women in it at all?
Because it's a swingers club. You don't want it to just be all dudes.
I don't know how these things work, but I don't know.
I think it's absolutely fair to charge men more. Because, of course, men are going to show up. And there are some that are going to show up regardless of how much it costs. I mean, women, they're in for some unpleasantness. I mean, you can say that that's what you're into and everything, but just mechanically and physically, some of that shit is going to be unpleasant. I think it's perfectly fair that they pay less to do it.
Would you say that the men are rubbing the women the wrong way?
Yeah, I probably would. Maybe not out loud like that, but I'd say it.
Now, how about we go to Channel View, Texas, where a pregnant Popeyes employee, Marissa Halcombe, was robbed at gunpoint, all caught on video, and then ordered by Popeyes to pay back the money that was stolen. Because Popeyes claims that there was too much money in the till, that as the assistant manager for the night, she was supposed to have done a drop an hour earlier. If she had done her job on time, then this guy wouldn't have gotten away with as much. So you just got robbed at gunpoint. You're pregnant with 3 kids at home and an unemployed husband. You owe us money for getting robbed. Who's wrong here? Marissa Halcombe or Popeyes?
Popeyes. 100% Popeyes. I work in a retail location. I've had the talk with my manager about robbery and everything. Any money that is left is inconsequential. These places, especially Popeyes, they're corporately owned, they're franchised, they are insured. They are insured to make back any money that is lost in a robbery. Fucking with her because more money was taken because she didn't do a safe drop when she was supposed to is just greedy people being shitty. Popeyes is in the wrong in this. They should not. God damn it. That's horrible to do to somebody, to make them feel worse about something horrible that's just happened. Fuck them.
Yeah, I honestly really don't have anything else to add. Charlie's right. Like there are there's insurance for this reason. And somebody else who works in retail, I can tell you that you don't always get to make the drop because things aren't always going to go exactly according to plan. Like
a busy day means the drop is not that goddamn important when there's nonstop customers.
You have to prioritize certain things and, oh, I should have had this money out of the till, but there's been a million customers here. Like, seriously, this honestly, like, you can't stop people from robbing you. You can put certain things into place, but if somebody wants to rob you, they're going to fucking rob you. And how much they take is not nearly as important as the fact that nobody got hurt.
That a pregnant woman was not shot.
Right. Like, how can they justify punishing her because they lost a few extra bucks, which is probably just a fucking drop in the bucket for them?
Certain things have happened after the story first came to light. She refused to pay back the money, so they fired her. So she went to the news. Well, now Popeyes is having a completely different reaction. They've not only offered her her job back, but at a bumped up salary and, quote, "We deeply regret the way this matter was handled. We are committed to continuing to work with Ms. Halcombe, and we apologize to her, our employees, the public, and other franchise operators of the Popeyes system. We have let them down and are committed to do better," unquote. Do you think that, to me, there's no way if she hadn't have gone to the news, they would have ever even offered her job back. Hell, they might have sued her in small claims court to try and get their 400 fucking bucks back. This is somewhat the power of the media, isn't it?
We talk a lot about how people just sort of jump to the media to help solve their problems for them. But I think this is one of those cases of it working. It kind of, I mean, we have such a terrible, terrible, fearsome media that will just jump on anything. And this is one of those instances where it did good. You know, it wasn't, you know, somebody blowing things out of proportion and trying to get the media on their side so that everyone will continue to live in an outrage culture. This is legitimate, really fucked up. And I think the media did its job here.
At the time we're recording this, she still has not decided whether she wants to go back. Because to me, would you want to work for those fucking people again?
Hell no.
No. I think it is a case of the media having affecting positive change. I think that's good. I definitely don't think they would have offered her a job back if she had not gone to the media. It's just when you were reading that quote from the Popeyes press release, anytime I hear like HR approved, ass covering corporate language, like we regret the way this was handled, the word regret always already distances them talking about.
We regret we got caught.
Yes, you fucked up. Just say, we fucked up. We're sorry. You can have your job back. We're not going to ask you to pay back the money. Just say that. It makes me sick.
But again, how could she ever work for these people again?
Desperation? That would be the only reason, like, if I were her, that I would ever go back, as if I knew I wasn't going to get another job. But I think if she plays her cards right, she should be able to get a better job than that.
I'm sure with the media coverage, yes. I absolutely agree with you, yes.
She could just, like, put out a feeler and then somebody will do, like, here's an update on how this woman's doing. And she could go on to some stupid morning news show and, you know, it's sort of, this is terrible, but it could be like when you put, like, dogs on the morning news who are up for adoption and then 30 people want to adopt the dog. It'll be like that. You know, you just put this woman on the morning news show and say that she needs a job, and then 30 people will call in wanting to hire her because it's good press.
Absolutely. We've got the pregnant woman that was robbed that stood up against Popeyes, especially if you're a competitor to Popeyes. Okay, we've got an election coming up, and the Republicans are holding a big seminar in the next couple of weeks. And I think this is very telling that they're actually having a panel discussion on whether, quote, Second Amendment remedies will be in order if they lose the next election. What I read into that is, if we don't win in 2016, we're staging a coup against the United States government. That's the only way you can read into that.
What, did they take their page from Missouri politics?
I don't know, but Second Amendment remedies, that's the only way you can take that. If we lose this time, Second Amendment remedies might be required, is a quote. That says they're thinking about armed insurrection if they don't win legally. The Republicans are the poorest losers I have ever run across.
It's almost like they're already locking the next mayor out of the building and telling them that they've been impeached before they even take office.
Senator Ted Cruz, as Charlie's pointed out, there's no way he's going to win, but he's still, at the time we're recording this, still a candidate. I'm going to quote from Senator Ted Cruz. The Second Amendment to the Constitution isn't just for protecting hunting rights, and it's not only to safeguard your right to target practice. It is a constitutional right to protect your children, your family, your home, our families, and to serve as the ultimate check against governmental tyranny for the protection of liberty.
Because, of course, anyone that doesn't agree with you is obviously tyrannical. What the fuck?
Well, it's difficult to think anything about it. Second Amendment remedies does sound like an oddly ominous pseudonym for murder. I can understand how Ted Cruz would be. Yeah, at the very least. I can understand how Ted Cruz could be gun obsessed because he has no sense of personal identity. If I die in a political riot, then then I won't die of cancer. I'm trying to be positive about it. So that'll be a good thing. I don't know though. I think bold actions are necessary on the side of the right conservative gun lobby. I think everybody willing to shoot themselves in the leg below the knee so that it is not attempted murder had you done it on another person. Shoot yourself in the leg below the knee. I think you can have all the guns that you want if you're willing to do that. I think a lot of people who just rave up and down the streets about how they have every right in the world to have a gun and how no one should take them away. I don't think any of them have ever witnessed gun violence firsthand.
Doesn't this kind of say that, I'm not trying to say the Republican Party in general, because this is only probably a couple of lunatics that requested this discussion. Doesn't this say that they have given up on what democracy is? That they have decided, no, we are fucking right, and we will show the people we are right at the point of a gun if we have to. Isn't this Muslim extremism for Christians?
I don't know that I would call people who hate everything in the world this much Christians of any kind, but I think this is definitely the crazies coming out. It's so painful to even talk about this. This isn't people who have given up on democracy. This is people who don't understand what democracy is at all, because democracy is about people coming together and, you know, bringing multiple ideas to the table and deciding together what's best for everybody. And these are not people who care about what's best for everybody, or they don't understand that their ideas alone aren't what's best for everybody. And they're crazy. They're absolutely mad. I don't know how these are extreme. These are borderline this is terrorism waiting to happen. Now, I don't think any of these people will actually try it, because there's no way they're going to get enough support, because politicians don't want to go to jail. That's why they hide all of their craziness as much as they can. Some better than others.
The good ones do.
Yeah, the good ones hide the fact that they're fucking insane. They read from a card instead of what's in their brains. They have any left at that point. Yeah, there's no way it's actually going to happen, because they'll fucking go to jail for treason, among many, many, many other things. But it's just really worrisome that people have this idea that that's what the Second Amendment right is, and that that's how it should be used, and that this is somehow at all an answer for any kind of problem. Like, oh, well, I don't like the fact that there's a fucking liberal pansy communist in office, even though they're doing things that help people. So fuck it. We're just going to gun down everybody.
What is the difference between this segment of the Republican Party and a militia group at this point, then?
Camouflage tank tops. They could probably use some of them. Ideologically, though, there is no difference. There's no difference between what they're saying and what dudes from Montana are saying. Yeah, democracy doesn't work because they elected a darkie, so I'm going to shoot my way out. I mean, that's what every Republican who is on this whole kick of not my president, and I'm going to write a letter to Iran and pass it during fucking study hall. Like, every instance of that, they are all tap dancing around the issue. They cannot handle a black president. They've never been able to handle a black president. Dude has been in office since 2008. That is a long fucking time.
But if they lose the next election, it won't be a black president. It'll most likely be a female president.
That so should go over just as horribly.
Yeah, it wouldn't technically be racism then, I guess. Is this not worrisome that a current presidential candidate is thinking about Second Amendment remedies to the tyranny of the United States government? This doesn't worry people at all that there are still people willing to support lunatics like this?
Preaching to the choir, the people that they're trying to convince to vote for them are the people who already believe whatever bullshit comes out of Fox News' cake hole. Like, these are people who are so deceived by whatever they have. They come in with a mindset and then they have somebody tell them exactly what they want to hear. And those are the kinds of people who are listening to this and going, that sounds like a great idea. These are not people who, first off, have any kind of schooling or sanity. They're just crazy. It's just a crazy guy preaching to a crazy choir. It's the blind leading the blind. It's other metaphors with other similes. Nobody in their right mind thinks that this is a good idea. Not out loud, anyway. People are like, well, yeah, I think that in my head sometimes, but I also think I'd like to strangle my boss, but I'm not going to do that because I'm not a terrible person.
I think talking about violently dismantling the government while applying for the highest job in government is a sign that you should fuck off, get out of politics, get a real job, and cut out the shit.
Just start ranting on a street corner with the end is nigh written on your chest at that point, right?
Yeah, that is the honest version of what Ted Cruz is doing.